And here's the Fred Allen Show, presented by the makers of Shepherd Cheese and Tenderleaf Cheese. Do you belong to the age group that says, oh boy, when you're pleased? Do you call something that looks good a lollapalooza? Or do you say it's out of this world? Well, whatever words you use to say grand eating, you're sure to say them when your Sunday night supper is a melted and bubbly, fragrant with flavor, toasted cheese sandwich made with quick-melting Shepherd Chevelle cheese food. Make it plain with a slice of tomato or with bits of bacon. It's grand with or without trimming. Chevelle is Shepherd's all-purpose cheese food to melt, to spread, or to slice. It's a product that Shepherd is proud to put its name on. And that means a lot, too, because Shepherd has stood for fine cheese and fine cheese only for more than 40 years. So if you're interested in that grand, good cheese flavor, look for that bright red Shepherd Chevelle package when you shop. And remember, always, to say Shepherd. S-H-E-F-F-O-R-D. Shepherd for fine cheese.
Kilroy, kitty.
The makers of Shepherd Cheese and Tenderleaf Tea present the Fred Allen Show with Fred's guest, Miss Tallulah Bankhead, Thorfinn Hoffer, Minerva Pyers, Peter Donald, Parker Fenley, the DeMarco sisters, Al Goodman and his orchestra, and yours truly, Kenny Delmar. Last Wednesday, ladies and gentlemen, the U.N. Assembly convened for the purpose of establishing a lasting peace. Tonight, we bring you a man who will give you no peace for the next 30 minutes. And here he is, Mr. Fred Allen.
Thank you. Thank you, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. And Kenny, I'm glad that you mentioned the U.N. Assembly. You know, the delegates are meeting in Flushing, where they held the last World Fair.
Yes, I saw a picture of Grover Whalen showing Mr. Molotov around the grounds.
Well, I know. The city gave the U.N. the old World Fairgrounds, but there was a catch in it, Kenny. They had to take Grover Whalen, too.
Yes. I just wish I could see a U.N. meeting.
I wish Grover could be here to see how he went tonight. That gardenia would have a sinister purpose. You wouldn't have had to send flowers. Well, I don't think, frankly, Kenny, I don't think that you would understand a U.N. meeting. You know, it's all different languages going on. They have 50 interpreters over there. The other day, for example, a delegate from Czechoslovakia got up and asked for $90 million loan. Well, it was translated into English, and they gave him $50 million.
His request in Czechoslovakian was for $90 million,
yeah.
And in English he only got $50 million?
Yes. It lost something in the translation. $40 million, to be exact. A drop in the bucket, you know.
Well, did all the delegates show up for the first meeting?
All but the French delegates. They got off the boat and went right out looking for Hildegard. We had that a good way, but the censor fixed it up. Well, of course. Portland, you look excited.
Oh, I just saw a picket on a pogo stick.
Well, why should a picket be jumping up and down on a pogo stick?
He was picketing a company on the second floor.
You can take that and put it with Grover when you get around. Tell me, what's new this week?
The OTA took the ceilings off of everything.
Well, I read that.
200 midgets in grocery stores lost their jobs.
Really? What were midgets doing in grocery stores?
Working under the counters.
Tell me, what else is hot?
I heard a radio program this week that Bob Hope wasn't on.
I will never believe it. I will never believe it.
He said you're going to be on his program next Tuesday.
That's right. He's broadcasting from Boston.
Bob Hope is always broadcasting from different cities.
Yes. Well, since the GIs have been demobilized, Bob is tracking them down one by one to entertain them.
I heard a new comedian this week. Henry something.
Henry?
Your sponsor has a razor.
Oh, I'm glad my sponsor doesn't have a razor. The worst that can happen to me, I'll get hit over the head with a wet tea bag. And speaking of tea, I think we'd better leave for Allen's Alley. It was clever the way. That writer is no longer with us.
What is your question tonight?
My question? Well, during the past week, Portland, after restrictions were removed, commodities suddenly appeared on the market at fantastic prices. To force prices down, housewives started fire strikes. And so our question tonight is, how are you reacting to today's high prices? And are you conducting your own fire strike?
Shall we meander?
Oh, no. Let's walk. it's so good to be back in Allen's Alley, Portland. Say, I guess the senator's in all right. Look, his Jimity shorts are hanging on the line. Well, let's see.
Somebody, I say, somebody now.
Yes, I am.
Claghorn's the name, Senator Claghorn.
Now, look, every...
I'm busy, son. It's this UN meeting. A little old Southern boy is running the whole shebang.
A Southern boy?
Yeah, Robert E. Lee's oldest boy, Trigby. Trigby Lee.
Trigby Lee is from Norway.
If he is, he's from South Norway.
Oh, no.
Thought you had me trapped, didn't you, son?
Yeah,
I got too much savvy for you, son.
Yeah.
I'm sharper than anything Gillette is turning out.
Wait a minute, Senator. What about this buyer strike?
I'm on strike myself till prices come down. I ain't even buying any votes.
Well, I mean the prices in stores, Senator.
I'm fighting them stores, gum and nail.
You mean tooth and nail, don't you?
I ain't got teeth. I'm fighting them with what I got. I fought old Ulysses S. when he comes south to open them Grant stores.
I see.
I fought them A and Black Eyed Pea stores.
Yes.
And them 5 and 10s, them Cottonworth stores.
You mean Woolworth, don't you?
Wool ain't worth nothing in the South, son. cotton ain't worth much more right now.
Well, summing up, Senator, about this fire strike...
There's only one thing that'll start the South buying again.
One thing?
Money.
Well, doesn't the government mint any money down your way?
If we had a mint in the South, son...
Yes?
We'd put it in a julep. Come on!
Well, I guess the Senator's favorite drink is a cotton gin Ricky. Well, I wonder if Mr. Moody has gone to bed yet.
Howdy, Bob.
Say, you look a little tired, Mr. Moody.
Confounded ruckus kept me awake all night.
Noise?
The pigs. It was whistling and chirping till all hours.
Well, how could your pigs whistle and chirp?
Oh, some dimwit throwed bird seed in the swill.
Well, no wonder you're mad.
If I catch the scum, I'll kick the heel-peeled bejeepers out of him.
I'll
let him yell, Euchre.
But,
The man that pranks me has got the wrong sow by the ear.
Now, Mr. Moody, don't lose your temper.
All right. If I'm all wet, you can hang me up to dry.
Calm down, Mr. Moody. Tell me, what about this buyer strike?
Oh, prices is going up and down so fast the farmer don't know where he is.
Really?
Yeah, one day beef is high. I drive my cow down to Shipper.
Uh-huh.
When I get to the depot, beef is down.
Yeah.
I drive my cow back home.
Gosh.
Next day, beef is up. I drive at the depot.
And?
Beef is down. I drive the cow back home.
How long did this go on?
6 months.
Uh-huh.
Cow got so weak, I had to prime her before she could move.
She must have been upset.
She got despondent.
Despondent, eh?
Started giving blue milk.
Your cow must have been a nervous wreck.
She got so unhappy, I finally sold her to a big milk company.
I bet you miss her.
Oh, yes. Every night I say to myself...
Yeah?
Somewhere in them carnation barns tonight...
Yes?
There's a cow that ain't contented. So long.
Well, poor Mr. Moody. Well, let's try this next door.
Hello?
Mrs. Nussbaum, what is your reaction to the buyer's strike?
Until prices are coming down, I am a non-consuming consumer.
Fine.
For 2 weeks is not coming into my house of beef meat.
Good.
For 2 weeks is not coming into my house of vegetables.
Good.
For 2 weeks is not coming into my house of potatoes.
Well, what has been the result of your no-food campaign?
For 2 weeks is not coming into the house my husband.
Say, you are really on a buyer's strike.
I am even making up slogans.
Food slogans?
Only a Slameel is buying veal.
Very good.
Don't be a schnook. Leave the meat on the hook.
Great, great.
Eat all your meals with some relation. This could help to stop inflation.
Excellent.
Also, I'm writing a poem.
Well, tell me, what is your poem called?
To My Butcher.
To My Butcher. How does it go?
You couldn't cut for me a steak. You couldn't cut a mutton. You couldn't cut a liverwurst. For me, you're cutting nothing. So put your holding, please, the cleaver. Till meat has passed the crisis, you couldn't cut a thing for me till you are cutting prices. Thank you.
Very good. Well, that brings us to the last house in the alley. What can possibly happen here?
Oh, well, I'm happy there. Who started the shenanigans, I imagine?
Oh, who do you do?
Well, Mr. Cassidy, how are you tonight?
Terrible,
really?
I'm a sickly man. This week, two doctors gave me up.
Two doctors gave you up? Why?
I didn't pay them.
Hey, you are in bad shape.
I'm not long for this world.
Well, before you go, Ajax, tell me about this buyer strike. Are you economizing?
No, economizing is too dangerous.
Well, how do you mean?
Well, now, a friend of mine, Sean Drumgoole, Jr., he started economizing.
Yeah?
He trained himself to eat less and less every day.
I see.
Finally, when the day come that Sean could live by eating nothing at all...
Yes?
He dropped dead.
Say, he must have been thin.
He was so thin, the wind kept blowing him off the pallbearer's shoulders.
Well, tell me, are you on a buyer's strike?
Well, now, every Saturday, I make just one purchase.
Uh-huh.
I go into Monahan's market, and I buy a pig's head.
Yeah?
I say to Monahan, leave the eyes in.
Well, why do you want the eyes left in the pig's head?
So it can see me through the week. But why do you...
Cassidy, seeing eye to eye with his meat boss, and turn to the five DeMarco sisters, ably abetted by Maestro Al Goodman and his orchestra. The DeMarco sing, South America, Take It Away.
Take back your samba, aye, your rumba, aye, your tanga, aye, aye, aye. I can't keep moving, aye, my daddy, aye, any longer, aye, aye, aye. Now maybe Latin, in the middle,
Kenny with a beverage bulletin.
Morning, noon, and night, and between time. The all-weather, all-purpose beverage is tea. And the tea that America wants in its cup comes from Tenderleaf Tea Balls. Largest selling tea balls in the country. You save money on these finer tea balls now. They come 40 acres a box. That adds economy. A saving in cash to all the other features that make Tenderleaf tea balls first choice of the nation. Yes, they are better in every way. From the price you pay to the last delicious swallow of tea, Tenderleaf tea balls impress you with advantages all along the line. Their convenience, cleanliness, appearance, the famous for flavor Tenderleaf brand tea, the tasteless filter paper and all. The big jumbo box is an added convenience, too. You're not forever running out. When you want a cup of quick comfort, it's there within reach. So save money this way. Ask for the thrifty box of 48 Tenderleaf brand tea balls. If your grocery supply hasn't come in yet, it's on the way.
That was just a sample of Rumors of Flying, rendered by Al Goodman and his orchestra, who, since the sugar shortage, will only play Tea for Two with Lemon. And now, ladies and gentlemen, well, I wonder what this is. Probably Grover. Come in.
Mr. Allen?
Yes?
My name is Westbrook Grafton. I'm the editor of that new picture magazine, Squint.
Squint?
It's a digest version of Look.
Squint, eh?
That's right. Squint is happy to present you the Squint Radio Award for the Outstanding Comedy Program of 1946.
Gosh, this is an honor, sir. Which one of our programs did Squint like?
Well, it was an unusual program for you. There was comedy in it.
Oh, yes, that would be outstanding.
Your guest was a great actress, Tallulah something.
Tallulah? Oh, yes. Last year, I remember that program now, Mr. Grafton. If you recall, Miss Bankhead came on, and then I said with gusto, well, if it isn't Tallulah Bankhead.
Hello, Fred.
Tallulah, you look wonderful.
So do you, Fred.
Well, thank you.
I can go along with the gag.
But you do look lovely, Tallulah. You reek of health. That tan, the wind-blown tresses, your weather-beaten complexion.
Well, I spent most of the last 3 months out of doors playing summer theaters.
Oh, well, playing summer stock must be a strenuous life.
It is, Fred. I spent more time in barns than Elsie the cow.
You've been with the livestock literati.
Definitely. In one silo I played, there were so many cows on the stage.
Yes?
I thought I was starring in the milkman cometh.
It must have been terrible.
And those insects. I had to play Lady Windermere's fan with a fly swatter.
Well, I know how it is, Tallulah. I played in summer stock once.
Really?
There were so many spiders around the place, I thought I was Clifton West. But enough about the summer theater and dear old Clifton. I hear you are going to do a new play on Broadway.
Yes, Fred, it's called The Eagle Has Two Heads.
Tallulah, as a friend, take my advice. Stay away from eagles. I had an eagle on this program.
So what happened, Fred?
Wouldn't you like to know? Tallulah, why do you bother with the theater? Rehearsals, one-night stands, eagles, the critics. Have you ever thought about radio?
Oh, what can I do in radio, Fred?
Does everything.
But the industry can use new talent.
Radio's all right for you, Fred, but I have friends I have to face off to each program.
Oh, you and I could go on the air together.
You mean we'd be another Lum and Abner?
Well, not right away. We'd have to work up to it. But the new trend in radio is the husband and wife program, Tallulah. The husband and wife just sit at the breakfast table and chew the fat for half an hour.
These couples broadcast from their own homes.
Yes, just jump out of bed around 6 a.m.
6 a.m? That's for roosters. In the theater, actors sleep until noon. Why, Fred, I was 24 years old before I knew what tweezers were.
Tallulah, all we'd have to do is eat 18 sponsors' products and talk about them for half an hour, and the money would roll in.
Money? I think I'm weak.
Why, we'd be a cinch, Tallulah. Imagine our program. First, the listeners would hear the chime.
The correct time is 6 a.m. And now, Tallulah and Freddie, that happy, homey couple. We take you to their homey little apartment where they broadcast their homey little program direct from their homey little breakfast table. Meet Tallulah and Freddie.
The Good morning, Betty, darling.
Good morning to Lou Angel.
Sweetheart, I must say, you look refreshingly well-rested this morning.
Yes, thanks to our wonderful Castanac factory-tested Pussy Willow mattress. The mattress that takes all of the guesswork out of sleeping. So soft, so restful.
And just 1750th hamburger.
Yes, marked up the other day.
Yes.
And only in the mattress, only the hearts of the tender pussy willows are you. Is breakfast ready, Angel Faye?
Yes, sweetie. Here's your coffee.
Oh, thank you, doll. What coffee? What aromatic fragrance. It must be...
You're right, love.
I knew it. Knew it.
It's Matista's Vita Fresh Coffee. The coffee with that locked-up goodness for everybody, grind or drip.
Quick, darling, I'll have another cup.
You spilled some on your bed.
Oh, goody. Now I can try some of that little Panther spot remover. No harsh rubbing. Just spray some little Panther on your vest and watch it eat the spot up.
And imagine, darling, a big 2-ounce bottle for only 35 cents.
Or, if you are a congenital messy eater, you can get the handy, economical 40-gallon vest.
Angel Eyes, darling, I have so much juicy gossip to tell our listeners this morning.
Stop. Don't you dare move to Lou.
But, darling.
What have you done to your hair? Your hair this morning is breathtaking. That sheen. That brilliance.
Well, I just did what so many society women are doing these days.
Yeah.
I went to Madame Yvonne's Hairdo Heaven.
Yeah?
It's on Madison Avenue. You go to the back of the orange juice can, rap 3 times, and just ask for Antoine.
Antoine. Well, I must say it's divine. It's bunny fluff.
Well, Madame Yvonne uses a sensational hairdressing.
Yeah.
It contains that new mystery ingredient, chicken fat.
I hear it's on sale at all of the better swap shops. But go on, darling. Our canary, little Yasha.
Doesn't little Yasha sound glorious this morning?
Yes, and I bet I know just what he's saying too, Tulu. He's saying, "Ye willikers, mummy and daddy, thanks for feeding me that swell Dr. Gruber's 3-way birdseed. It comes in 15 and 25 cent packages, tailored to fit the beat."
Ah, little Yachty, so happy, so carefree, and why shouldn't he be happy?
Yes, he knows that the newspaper on the bottom of his cage is New York's leading daily. The Morning Record. The Morning Record has 32 columnists, 18 pages of comics, and all the news no other newspaper sees fit to print.
Oh, excuse me, Apple, honey, but I have a letter here from Mrs. T.X. Button of Mole Hole, Idaho.
Yes?
And Mrs. Button has had a splitting headache for 40 years. Until she heard about Pepto-Bepto on our program.
Yes, only Pepto-Bepto is guaranteed to fizz twice. Once before you drink it, and once after.
And here's another very interesting letter from a kleptomaniac.
Oh, really?
Right. Good morning, Mummy and Daddy.
Oh, it's our little 3-year-old daughter, Amber.
Isn't she cute?
Oh.
Amber, darling, I just love the way your tooth is shining this morning. Yes, Mummy. I brushed it with Dr. Pratt's homogenized toothpaste.
And what does Dr. Pratt's toothpaste do, baby?
It gets into your mouth,
yeah,
rolls up its sleeve, and really does a job on your dirty old teeth.
Isn't she cute?
So sweet. Now, you run along the school, baby.
Yeah.
Daddy and Mumsy have, oh, so many things to tell our listeners.
Especially about the celebrities we saw at the Stork Club last night.
Wasn't it wonderful,
oh,
Betty?
God.
Wally Winter, Todd Power, Nick Kenny, Edgar Hoover, the Mystery Chef.
Yeah.
All waving to us. Now, what are you laughing at, love?
I just thought how witty Oscar Levant was last night when he poured that bottle of Piccalilli over Jim Farley's head.
Dear Oscar, so clever.
With Piccalilli, especially.
And wasn't Mr. Farley a good sport? He just sat there grinning and smacking his lips.
Yes, and you too will smack your lips if you taste Trinkus's pre-shrunk Piccalilli. The only Piccalilli that bears the Hobo News seal of approval.
Well, that's what we are here telling us our time is up.
We'll be back tomorrow morning at 6, folks. Until then, this is Freddie.
And Lou.
Saying goodbye.
Goodbye.
Now, wasn't that simple, Tallulah? With a program like this, we can make a fortune.
But it's ridiculous, Fred. Nobody can possibly be that cheerful every morning.
Well, that's true. If one of those happy couples woke up grouchy one morning, the listener would probably hear something like this.
Oh! Hey, knucklehead!
Get out of that bed. We've got a program to do.
Will you quit yapping? 6 o'clock in the morning. Who's up to listen to us? A couple of garbage collectors and some burglars, maybe. What a racket.
Well, if you want to go back to hustling gardenias in front of Charles, go right ahead.
Yeah, and what were you? Queen of the powder room at the brass rail. My mouth tastes like a sand hog just pulled his foot out of it. Dad, I'm sleepy.
So why don't you stay home some night and try sleeping?
Sleeping on that Pasternak Pussy Willow mattress? Pussy Willow. It's stuffed with cat hair. Every time I lie down on that cat hair, my back arches.
Oh, stop sleeping. Here's your coffee.
Well, it's about time. What are you trying to do? Poison me?
It's that Batista's Vita Fresh coffee. It won't kill you.
It won't, eh? Why do you think the government makes them put that skull and crossbones on the can? Look at that. I spilled some on my vest.
Oh, you're such a slob. Yeah. Now get that bottle of little Panther spot remover.
You're not putting any of that atom juice on me. The last time it ate away my suit and I still had the spot left. Where do you find these sponsors? In the police lineup?
Look, Gruesome, if you'll keep that big bazoo of yours closed for 1 minute.
What is it?
Your hair. It looks as though you just took your... Looks as though you just took your head out of a mix match.
I know that hag, Madame Yvonne, with her chicken fat. My hair keeps sliding off my head.
Yeah, that bird again. Shut up, you molting pest. I thought I told you to give that drunken sparrow some of Dr. Gruber's bird seed.
I did. Now, Yash is the only canary in the country with an ulcer.
The way that Gruber palms off that chopped up beaver board on bird lovers.
What's the mail today, Chowderhead?
A summons. Somebody took that Pepto-Bepto and dropped dead. Why don't you?
Look here, Panther.
Oh, shut up. And Yasha, you shut up, too.
Good morning, Mommy and Daddy.
That'll teach you cheating up on your parents with that one tooth like an old elk, little lamb.
Well, I told you we should have finished reading the book before we named her.
I want my breakfast.
Go gum a donut.
Pipe down, Tom. I want to mention the celebrities we saw last night at dinner.
What celebrities? We ate at the Automat and you know it. I'm going back to bed.
The program isn't over, you dope. We still have 160 more products to mention.
Yeah, well, you mention them. I've had enough of this 6 o'clock racket with you and that kid and Canary yapping around here. I've got a gun.
You rat, you killed Yasha.
Yes, and you're next.
Oh, Daddy, you killed Mommy.
Yes, Amber.
Am I going, Daddy?
Yes, forever, Amber. Tune in tomorrow, folks, for something new in radio programs. One Man's Family Without the Family. Before we put the Shepherd's Cheese and the Tenderly Tea back on the shelf, I want to thank Miss Tallulah Bankhead for a pleasant visit this evening. Next week, our guest will be poor Miriam's
boyfriend, Bob. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.